Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Ethics Talk. Today we are doing a show on first year law experience, and we have two CMU alumni, Jordan and Chris, and why don't you guys introduce yourself? Why don't Chris, you introduce yourself first?
Hi everyone, I'm Chris Allen. I'm a law student at Michigan State University College of Law, first year student.
Hi everyone, I'm Jordan Schwartz. I'm a first year student at Suffolk Law School in good old downtown Boston, Massachusetts.
Very cool. Well, it's going to go like this. I'll ask you guys a question, and then each of you will give an answer. You'll kind of have to figure out who goes first. But why did you decide to go to law school?
Jordan, why don't you begin?
I thought that was coming from you, Chris. Well, I really I had the great fortune of getting involved with Professor Holt May at Central Michigan University, and she really played a large role in getting my mind sort of rolling on the law school track. It was from Ancient Greek philosophy. She was in law school at the same time, and so she was relating a lot of stuff to law school, made it sound really neat, really interesting. At the same time, I was kind of I was a budding philosophy major, not really knowing what to do with myself. And from there, I sort of started focusing more on going to law school, and I got involved with different organizations. And from there, it just sort of snowballed into a full-blown desire and passion to attend law school.
Very cool.
As for me, you know, I never really had that that childhood dream of being a lawyer, or, I didn't have any parents that were lawyers or anything like that. So this wasn't long in my destiny, I guess. Part of the reason was, is as a philosophy major and political science major, I didn't really have much of a choice outside of law school. But actually, more seriously, I also had the great fortune of working with Dr. May, and I think it just seemed like a good intersection between philosophy and political science, philosophy being the more theoretical, argument-based subject, and political science dealing more with the public policy and things like that. So law just seemed like a good fit for me.
Great. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a question now, too. And I've heard a lot about the exam experience in terms of law students, and I've heard brutal things about it. So if you guys want to talk a little about your individual exam experiences and how those went down and how you survived.
All right, well, I'll pick up first on this one. Law school exams are something else. Jordan will agree with me on that, and Hope will as well.
And every law student.
Yeah, I think anybody in law school will really agree with that. And, you know, everybody warns you that it's going to be, you know, the hardest time, to be the most stressful, and, you know, you always say, yeah, sure it is, but those 2 weeks for me anyway were, morning till night, you get up and you study and you read, outside of eating until you sleep. And so by that point in the semester, though, most of the semester has been a lot of reading, a lot of studying, things like that, so not that it was easy by any means, but it was easier having that, 15 weeks of preparation to kind of get you into that mode. Staying focused after, two of the exams is sort of tough because, you put in so many hours and you're only halfway done. That's when I really, when it really hit me that, this wasn't over yet. But I think just staying focused, it's difficult, definitely, but if you can stay focused and kind of give yourself a plan, all of us survived, at least in my school. I can't talk for any other schools, but everybody here survived.
Yeah, I'll pick up on that. I mean, Chris, well said. Nobody likes exams, at least Not that I know. One of the major things that was really something that, you know, you had to work to overcome was the stamina and, like Chris said, staying focused, because the exam period is long. It's not like an undergrad where you have 1 week of exams. We basically had what they call a reading period, and that started after Thanksgiving, and our exams didn't end until the 20th of December. So you have this week, you know, where you get all of your outlines together, get everything sort of in your head together mentally that you have been preparing and working on all semester, and then it's just a race through the gauntlet to keep yourself focused for, you know, the next 2 weeks. And like Chris said, in the library every morning, leaving late every night. And the one thing that's interesting about law school exams is that the fact that you know the law and know what you've been taught all semester is a given. If you don't know that going into the exams, you know, you might as well stay at home. What the exams want to test you on is how well you can apply the law that you know to this ridiculous, what they call a fact pattern, which is basically just a long, overdrawn, overblown story that the professor, dreamed up to, analyze what law students know. So, I mean, a lot of it is, it's just a gauntlet. But like Chris said, everyone survives. It seems to work out better than you think it does when all is said and done. And having the first set of exams under my belt is definitely an advantage going into the next set of exams here.
To pick up on that, what Jordan was saying about knowing all the material is just the first step. It really is. I mean, to know all the rules of law that you've learned, that's C material, as one of my professors pointed out. Actually knowing the rule inside and out and being able to apply it to new situations is where the tough part comes in. This way it's different for law school as compared to undergrad, at least in my experience, that in undergrad you learn the rules and you kind of regurgitate it back onto the paper, which is, you know, sometimes hard enough in and of itself. But in law school, you know, like I said before, like Jordan said, you know the rule, but you need to apply it to an entire new situation. It's all novel, and that's what you do as a lawyer. So it's a totally different mindset going into the final.
So do you think it's a practical way then? I mean, do you think it's really going to serve you well the way that it's testing you?
I'll take that if you don't mind. I was just speaking with Laura, my girlfriend and law school colleague, about exams and the way that they test you, and it's very high pressure, very high stress, and I don't know if it's a way to gauge a realistic assessment of how somebody will do in the legal profession, which I guess runs rampant through law school and the legal profession with the LSAT. People say that may not be the best way to judge whether someone will do well in law school. I think the same is said for exams. And it's not a realistic situation. I think maybe a better assessment, a way to get a better gauge of how a law student will do in the legal profession, is to have maybe a take-home exam or something where you can really take the material that you know and come up with your best argument about a certain situation. So I personally don't feel like it's the best way to gauge what a law student knows or how well they will do in the future.
I think I'd agree with that. I think I'd agree that with that for the most part, because you're obviously going to have time crunches now and then, but you're not going to need to rack your brain and everything you know about a subject in 3 hours. I mean, generally when you're working on a case or whatever, so it's not like a real world setting. In that sense, you know, same as Jordan mentioned the LSAT. You know, you got to get a problem done in a minute and 30 seconds or whatever it is. I mean, generally, that's not going to be the case. So, I think the time crunch is probably the biggest thing that makes it maybe not the best way to test, but maybe it's the only practical way. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Well, we just got a new question. One of our listeners wants to know what you guys felt like right after the exam.
I guess I'll start. Right after the final exam, December 18th. I mean, I still remember that date. You know, I could forget my dad's birthday or something, but the last day of finals was, I think it was partly a sense of relief that it was over, partly a sense of excitement because, well, it was over. I think most of my section of students went out to our local establishment and had dinner and had a good time. So I think just a lot of relief, really, because the stress is gone, at least for a short period of time. After that night or that day, then you start worrying what you actually got in the final. But at least for that day, you know, you finally feel good about yourself again.
Probably after a lot of sleep, too.
Yeah. The Friday after, I remember, was I didn't move much. I mean, you just want to sit around and you want to say, I don't have to read right now, and it feels good.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Nope. I agree. I mean, it was a relief. Another relief was just getting the first one out of the way. Contracts. The first exam, and once that was done, I mean, you're just this ball of nervous energy, and you sort of have just 2 or 3 hours to let go on this exam. And then, you know, once that was over, that was a big relief. And then it was just after the final exam, like Chris said, just a big weight off the shoulders.
Yeah, I'd agree with Jordan on after the first exam, because it's so I don't know if it's secret, but you've never been in that situation, so you don't know how it's going to be. So once you take the first one, you kind of get an idea of what you're expected to do. So not that you were too relieved, because you know you had three coming, but at least you kind of had an idea what was in the batter's box coming up next.
Well, earlier you guys were talking about the important thing is staying focused. Do you have any tips on how you stayed focused? Because that's a big struggle for anyone.
Yeah, what are your habits?
Coffee.
Coffee, yep. Jordan.
Yeah, just staying focused, like, a lot of, I mean, everyone in your class is obviously in the same position, so I know that I had made a good core group of friends that I kind of studied with and confided in throughout not only the semester but the exam period, and, you know, really we helped out each other a lot with just motivation, and, you know, law school is all well and good for 15 weeks out of the semester, and then during exams, you know, you really kind of start to think, okay, well, this is what I'm here for. This is my one chance to show the professors what I know. And really a lot of the motivation, you know, just comes from within. You sort of find it, and you know that you have to sit there until you have everything down in your head, because, I mean, if you don't, then, you know, you're just going to go down in flames. maybe not down in flames, but I mean, you just find it within yourself, and you know, like I said, coffee helps.
Yeah, it's tough to pinpoint exactly. I mean, it's a habit. We're cultivating habits, I think, would be a good way to put it.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I mean, you gotta turn the TV off when you're trying to study, or you gotta go to the library when you can't focus at your house, or you gotta go to a coffee shop when you can't focus at the library. It's easy to get sidetracked, that's for sure, just like doing anything, but sometimes your head gets clear, then you realize, you know, you're here for a reason, and you just, dig down and get to it. It's easier said than done on occasion, but again, coffee helps, definitely.
Okay. Well, kind of going in a different direction, was there any specific classes that you took in as an undergrad here at CMU that really helped you? How
go ahead,
have it helped you in your law experience?
Go ahead, Jordan.
All right. I think that generally my philosophy classes helped me just in terms of you know, we would read a lot, but it was also a lot of the analysis that went along with philosophy and the reading. Hope May's philosophy of law class is actually really coming into play a lot right now that I'm taking constitutional law. A lot of the stuff that we talked about in that class has sort of direct application to my constitutional law class. I think generally my philosophy classes, and really I say that because that's what I had the most experience with. But some classes will help, but it is a completely different world.
Yeah, I think I agree with the philosophy classes. Listeners aren't getting much of a diversity in terms of majors here, but I would think most people would agree that philosophy classes are probably the best, most applicable, just because a lot of times in philosophy you're looking for distinctions or you're looking for analogies and things like that, and that's a lot of times what you're doing in a law school class as well in your readings. Also, just generally the difficulty of the readings in philosophy, for me anyway, was comparable to the difficulty, maybe not in kind, but at least in depth of difficulty. Sometimes the text is just difficult to get through, so having to read a paragraph over 3 or 4 or a dozen times, becomes frequent, and at least in your first semester of law school. So just those intense reading skills were helped through philosophy classes, for me personally anyway.
And I have a little something to add to that. Conversely, and these are for the listeners who aren't philosophy majors or maybe thinking, oh crap, I need to become a philosophy major. There are people from every single major, every single walk of life in my class, and some of the smartest, I think, people that get it the most and get it the quickest in my class, I've noticed, are like engineers. And I don't know if it's just – what's that?
I'd agree with that too.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just the way that they've learned to sort of process information perhaps in a more linear fashion, sort of this is the law, these are the facts, well, this is, obviously the outcome. Don't just get discouraged with whatever major that you're in. There are people from every single thing that you could think of in law school, and, they all do very well.
You guys mentioned the LSAT. I know that's a huge looming cloud over many prospective law students. If you want to elaborate on that experience studying for it, what did you do? How did you prepare? How'd it go?
Wow. Well, the LSAT was a while ago. I hadn't really thought about that test in a while. When you're an undergrad looking to law school, I mean, that's like your focus of all your attention. You got to do well on the LSAT. Once you get here, nobody talks about LSAT scores, but
nobody wants to talk about the LSAT at all. thanks for bringing that up, Sandra.
No problem, buddy.
But it is a very important indication of, or not indication, a very important number, fortunately or unfortunately, for law school admissions. So for me, doing practice tests was really to, get old tests from the LSAC and just time yourself and do those. That's really the best way that I found, and some of my colleagues found, were able to do it. Some people would, I guess that's really all you can do. Take a test in 3 hours and then go through each question, whether you got it right or wrong, and go through and make sure you understand it. I actually took an LSAT preparation course through, I think it was Princeton Review, and the teacher goes through and teaches you strategies and things like that. And those can, I think it was helpful for me. But on the other hand, I had a friend who just took dozens of practice tests by himself, went through them, talked through with other people. And he, his score topped mine big time. So it's, I really think taking the test themselves timed is really the best way to do it for anybody.
One thing that I will add to that is I took a class with Chris, and we carted ourselves down to Lansing 3 times a week to go take that class. And if you can afford it, I think that it is certainly something to take advantage of. I think the biggest thing that I got from taking the class was that it forced me to sit down for 6 hours a week and practice certain types of problems, and then it forced me to sit down every Sunday and take a practice exam. So if you maybe have a little more motivation than I did, and not motivation, but really it is just hard to sort of force yourself to sit down and, deal with something like that. And if you have the means, then I would highly recommend taking a class, if not for that reason alone.
So what is the most enjoyable aspect of law school? What intrigues you about it?
Enjoyable? What?
Yeah.
Oh, stop, Chris.
Anything,
you love it.
I guess I should have.
No, it's the most enjoyable part of law school. Well, I think there's a lot of different enjoyable parts. I mean, certainly it's very stressful on occasion, well, all the time. But in my experience, I've been able to meet, I mean, on one hand, I've been able to meet a lot of very intelligent people, I mean, that have turned into good friends, colleagues that have helped me in my professional life and my, you know, my personal life as well. But just there's this most of the people here really are here for a reason, and you can tell in their work ethic and their, you know, the points they make in class and things like that. So having an atmosphere like that is very enjoyable for me to be with other students who care. Also, sometimes for me the actual reading is interesting. I mean, it depends on the class and depends on the case, but sometimes, you know, trying to dissect a case and really see what the core of the issue is can be fun. I mean, sometimes when it's late and you just gotta get the reading done, it's not as fun. But I don't think I'd be here if I didn't enjoy, for the most part, you know, learning the law. So I mean, at, you know, that's kind of a grand, broad statement. That's not very particular, but you know, just sometimes reading the cases can be fun.
I would absolutely agree with that. I have some notes written down for that question, thanks to Nick's outline that he sent around. And I put down, I mean, the subject matter, I really think that it's interesting. Like Chris said, when you're in a bind and you just need to get two more cases done, it might not be that interesting, but there are just some things that you would have never thought in a million years about, and once your attention is sort of directed that way, these little issues in the law just become very, very interesting. And so I think that a majority of my classwork is very interesting to deal with. Another thing that's enjoyable is that I've made a lot of friends from school. And, you know, I enjoy waking up in the morning and going into school and sort of hanging out and talking with some people in the lobby before class. And then, you know, we go out to the bars on Fridays. Excuse me. So, you know, that there is this sort of social aspect. I mean, you're with these people between, you know, 40 and 60 hours a week or something, you know, sort of in their presence, and you really form bonds with people. A third thing that I think is really enjoyable about law school is the professors. Some professors that I have are just genuinely funny, funny people. I mean, they're all brilliant, but sitting in class, and I mean, these professors are, whether they're ripping on a student who doesn't know an answer, or whether they're just pulling off one-liners or something, some of my professors are genuinely funny, and it makes sitting in class all the more worthwhile.
Yeah, I would like to echo that point. At least personally for me, the professors I had both semesters really are brilliant, and on top of that, you know, they know how to teach. You know, I hear stories from other, you know, other sections that have professors that just you know, aren't the best, but at least in my experience, to have, you know, a very smart professor, you know, that knows how to teach, that enjoys their job. I mean, that makes the it makes it, you know, although sometimes it's a little scary going into class, it makes it really interesting, and you know you're going to learn something.
Do you guys feel a lot of pressure when you're in class to like answer questions correctly, or do you feel like the professors are pretty accepting of all sorts of questions?
I think it depends on the professor, really. Sometimes on the professor's mood that day. there's still one professor I have right now that I'm just terrified of, to be honest. And I think that that, you know, sometimes, you know, I think every time you want to be prepared, you want to show up to class, and you want to be able to, if you get called on, a quick little aside is Generally, the method used in a law school classroom is the Socratic method. So actually the first week of classes, we would, you know, I'll be in our seats and, you know, the professor would say, Mr. Allen, would you cite the facts from, you know, Microsoft v. I don't know, PepsiCo or something. And he would have us stand up and address the class, and, you know, everybody would be trembling when they were standing because it's, you know, it's nerve-wracking, obviously. So you don't want to be up there looking like a total fool. You want to kind of know what you're talking about. So, I mean, after a while, he backed off on that a little bit because I think he was just trying to scare us a little bit. But, I mean, everybody wants to be prepared, and if you're unprepared and you get called on, I mean, I haven't had it in my experience, but I've seen in other students' faces when they don't know what's going on, or they were, you know, on looking up the news instead, that it's embarrassing, and you wanna impress yourself, you wanna impress your colleagues, you wanna impress your professor, and you just wanna, you know, you wanna make the most of your experience in the classroom. So I think being prepared is definitely something that you wanna be when you show up to class.
Yeah, I really I don't have much to add to that. That pretty much sums it up. I'm terrified of my contracts professor, and he is he's the quintessential law school professor, and like Chris said, it varies. I have some professors who only take volunteers. Some professors will assign a couple people, and they'll say, okay, well, you know, Schwartz and Allen, you're on for Friday's class, and so you'll know and you'll prepare. And, you know, my contract professor is all over the place, and he is just unforgiving. You can't pass, and, you know, he'll kind of make you look silly. And, you know, you really want to just do well and be prepared, not only for yourself, but, you know, for the professor. And so, you know, I mean, there's a bit of social pressure. You don't want to look foolish in front of your classmates. But at the same time, if you do look foolish, your classmates are generally pretty forgiving, you know, pat you on the back, sort of, you know, dust your pants off, get up, and go out there and try and do it again next week or something. So,
yeah, I think something can be said for the, at least in my section, the camaraderie for, you know, students who get called out. I remember the first week in civil procedure, a student got called on, and man, it wasn't that he didn't know what was going on. It was that this professor, the one I'm afraid of still, was relentless, just relentless. And, you know, and he was doing fine, but, you know, he was very nervous and turning red, and, you know, you felt for him, you know, you had that empathy because it really could be anybody in the class. So, you know, after class, everybody, you know, gave him a pat on the back and said, nice job, way to get through it, you know, this professor's tough. And I think because everybody in the section, you know, is going through the same experience, you know, there's that camaraderie, and that definitely helps to know that you're not going to be made fun of. Maybe a few friends might make fun of you, but for the most part, you're gonna be backed up if you're trying out there.
All right. Were there any misconceptions you had about law school before coming there, and then getting there and realizing that some of the things that you had heard is not real?
Chris, you wanna go ahead with that, or?
You don't have a real answer for it. We can go on to something else.
No, it's I guess I thought that everyone would kind of be smarter than me or know more or have done more. And so I think that there's this sort of self-doubt when you are, like, getting ready to go to law school and, like, orientation. You know, you're trying to sound as smart as you can. And, like, but then you realize that even these people that have just done, you know, so much and have such a wealth of experience and knowledge, you know, they're people, and, you know, everyone has something to bring to the table or they wouldn't be there. So that, I think, is one misconception that I had, was that I was sort of going to be beneath other people. And that just goes away really quickly once you start to meet everybody and see how things go.
Yeah, I would definitely second that. That's for sure. I mean, at least in my experience, you have no idea where you're going to end up. And I think Jordan nailed that right in the head. I mean, you show up and you're surrounded by a lot of people who are smart and dedicated, but then you realize that you are too. And, you know, being surrounded by those people definitely makes a difference.
One of our listeners wants to know how you guys feel about specialized programs in law schools. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I imagine the listener is talking about like extracurricular activities. I'm not exactly sure, but
yeah, maybe it has to do with like a dual program or like a specialized, like if you're doing international law or family law or something.
I see.
Yeah.
I think given our limited experience, it's kind of hard to say because
right.
As a 1L, as a first-year law student, we take all the same classes. Basically, you don't really have a choice in what you're taking. You know, everybody's taking contract, civil procedure, torts, criminal law, property, constitutional law, and a legal writing class. So, in terms of like specialized programs, I don't really have much to say on that because I don't have any experience yet.
Yeah, same situation. I mean, I've heard mixed reviews. I know that my school offers like an intellectual property, international law, maybe a couple other specializations where you get a certificate on your degree or something. And I've heard mixed reviews about it, but like Chris said, I have no experience with that either, so I can't really. I'm in no place to speak about it.
All right. Have you guys given any thought into what kind of law you'd like to pursue?
I guess, of course, I thought about it. Have I narrowed it down is another question. We do take all of the same classes first year, no matter where you go. And personally, I am not sure what I would like to do, at least this first summer. I mean, it all seems to be about just getting any sort of legal experience that you can sort of I should back up. How the summers go during law school is you get summer jobs that are law related. Your first summer is a bit more informal, and then the second summer you sort of do the, if you're going to go into a law firm or something, you do the summer associate program where you sort of try on the law firm and they try on you and you see how that works. And there's also a big sort of push towards public interest law. I know public interest law is very big, so clinics, domestic violence clinics, housing clinics, things like that. But really the first semester is just to try and get like any experience that you can. It may be different in Michigan. I know that Boston is a little bit more of a saturated market with Harvard, BU, BC, Suffolk, New England Law. There's a lot of people in a small area, so right now everyone's kind of got the jitters and they're like, oh, what am I going to do with my summer? So I guess that's somewhat related. As of right now, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't really have any sort of disposition one way or another towards what I want to do, and I feel like this summer I'll have an opportunity to sort of narrow that down.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the same page as Jordan here. I kind of went in not knowing what I wanted to do. You know, I didn't show up wanting to do environmental law against business law, against family law, or whatever. So I'm still trying to get my feelers out there and see what, what fits me. And like Jordan said, the first summer, I mean, he says at least there's a market out in Boston. I don't know about Michigan right now, but the first summer you just take any legal experience you can. Like he said, just get in somewhere and try to do some legal work that's outside of, reading your casebook all day. And hopefully that'll help narrow it down a little bit. I mean, I know a lot of people come to law school to practice in a certain area, but not having that that mindset or that background, I guess I can't really speak to that.
I just have one more thing to sort of add on this point, if you don't mind. I would say that generally, just from my experience and talking with people in my section in my class, I think, I don't even know if I'd go so far as to say half and half know what they want to do versus don't know what they want to do. I think that a majority of people, maybe not a majority, more than half, really are there to sort of figure it out themselves. They may have some sort of vague idea or be into two or three different things that they might want to pursue, but generally are not sort of hardline, I'm going to do this, one section area. And a lot of attorneys that I've talked to, are doing something completely unrelated than what they went into law school thinking that they may have wanted to do or, you know, started out doing right after law school. You know, I've talked to entertainment lawyers who had first been homicide attorneys in the district attorney's office and then went and did divorces, and now somehow they got involved with entertainment law. So that's all I wanted to add about that.
Is there a certain time that you have to, like, decide what you want to do in law, like in terms of law school?
I don't think so, really. I mean, being a 1L, it's kind of hard to say, but, I mean, by the time you graduate, it's probably good that you have an idea because, you know, you got to get a job at that point and start paying off your student loans. But as an undergrad, you have to, you know, you have to pick a major and maybe a minor, and you have to take these classes and all that sort of stuff. But in law school, after the first year, there's really only a few required classes, so you can take whatever you want. You don't have to specialize in a certain area. You can take really whatever you like. I mean, they recommend you take certain classes that are going to help you pass the bar. But other than that, I don't know if there's really a timetable for figuring out what you like. I mean, I would assume the sooner the better so you can get a little more focused. But, you know, I don't see any reason why you can't, you know, be getting it to the end of your third year and still be a little confused about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, what's the grading like? I mean, how do they grade things? I mean, like, is it a curve, or, you know, everyone could possibly get A's, or is it, you know, compared to everyone's compared to each other?
It's graded on a curve. I know that at my school the curve is set at a B minus. So the top of the bell is going to be at a B minus, and that is at 2.67, I believe. And the majority of the people are going to get that. And you know, I'm not a math whiz, but the other ones will fall on either side. So it is mathematically and statistically impossible for everyone to get A's, and that's what creates a lot of the stress during exam time. Is that, for example, in my contracts class, I think maybe we gave out maybe two or three A's, you know, maybe five A minuses, and then, you know, it just goes down from there. And all of your exams are ranked relative to each other. So what you may write and think is an objectively would be, you know, an A minus exam or something. If everybody else wrote what would be an A exam, then, you know, you could wind up with a C minus or a D. So I think a lot of that adds to the stress that it's sort of the first year mandatory curve. I think I've heard that after the first year, the standard gets relaxed and there's no mandatory curve, but since they have to rank everybody, they do a mandatory curve for first years, and I think it's like that at a majority of law schools.
Yeah, that's how it is here. I'm not sure what the exact curve is. I want to say it's like they divvy it up A's, B's, C's, and D's. I want to say it's like 20% A's, 25-ish percent D's, 40% C's, somewhere along those lines. So the professors got kind of got to pigeonhole their grades. So one of the things I noticed in law school that kind of blew my mind actually was that you kind of want a difficult exam. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but if there's a really easy exam, given the curved nature of it, then, you know, everybody in the class would presumably do pretty well. So the difference between an A grade and a C grade may be two tiny little points or one little issue that you may have missed or one multiple choice question that was wrong. But if you get a really difficult exam, even though obviously it's more difficult, there's going to be a better distribution. So when you do, you know, there's going to be a wider spread, I guess, between the A's and the C's because, you know, it's really going to piss you off if you got, you know, a few extra wrong, then that drops your grade way down. That's just kind of, it kind of hit me before I was taking exams that I really wanted a hard exam, and that kind of freaked me out. But, but that seems to be the way it is in law school anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure that encourages that highly competitive stereotype of law school.
Yeah, I think I guess that's one of my misconceptions At least in my experience, I'm sure it depends on the school, but, you know, I was thinking I was going to get here and everybody was going to be, you know, stealing books out of the library and people are going to be ultra competitive. And, you know, of course there's a few people that you can tell a little competitive, but I don't think I know anybody that does something at the expense of others to get ahead. I mean, everybody's trying to get the best grade in the class. I mean, most people are, but that's people's goal, is to get better grades. So you can't blame them for working hard, but, you know, I was afraid that people were going to be hiding notes or not sharing, but, you know, one day when I did the wrong reading for a class early on in civil procedure, you know, I was freaking out, but this person next to me that I barely knew, you know, gave me her briefs for the class, you know, so I could follow along and I wouldn't be too embarrassed if I got called on. So, I mean, at least in my section, in my school, I can't speak outside of that, it's not cutthroat competitive. I mean, people are competitive because they're trying to get the best grades, but nobody's doing it at the expense of someone else. And that was, you know, a misconception, but a welcomed one, I guess.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, we've sort of, there's this theme of camaraderie that, you know, has been running through our little interview, and, you know, we've made a lot of good friends. And like Chris said, you know, I've been in the same situation where maybe I just hadn't had a chance to prepare, and, you know, a friend emailed me their notes or something, and I did the same for a friend. But yeah, I mean, nothing at the expense of others to get ahead, at least I haven't seen. But I think that by our very nature, majority of the people that go to law school are competitive at heart, and more so than competitive, I think, is just ambitious. It takes a certain drive to get there and to perform every day. So, I mean, it comes out sometimes, but I think that Chris has a great point that it's never, in my experience, has been at the expense of another.
You guys talked a little bit earlier about habits. I just want to know how you manage your time and what your schedule is like. Can you, like, walk us through maybe a week, like, what it's like, what you do?
Yeah, I guess, it depends on the day because classes are different, but generally, you know, I roll out of bed around 7 o'clock or so. I don't do any work before class. I don't do any work besides preparing for the class in front of me. Some people get up early and, you know, at 5 in the morning because that's when they study best. Generally, I roll out of bed, grab some breakfast, grab some coffee, take the bus to class, and then I spend the day at the school. Generally, there's a class in the morning and a class in the afternoon. So, you know, you go to the class in the morning, prepare a little bit beforehand, in the break, have some lunch with some friends, and then get some work done in the break, go to your second class for the day, and after that, sometimes stick around at the library for a couple hours, sometimes head home, and get back to work. For me at least, it's not like I block out, you know, this hour will be devoted to this hour will be devoted to that, because you kind of got to be flexible, at least in my experience. But at the same time, you know, I can expect outside of taking, you know, an hour break after class or, you know, for dinner or whatever, you know, I can expect to be working most of the night until, you know, 11 o'clock or so. So it really is a full-time plus job, that's for sure.
I at least the way that I do it, and it's similar to Chris. I mean, I'll wake up at anywhere between 6:30 and 7:30, and sort of make my breakfast, get everything going, get on the train and head to school. And then I get there, like Mondays, I don't have class until 11, and normally I'll get to school around 9 o'clock, I'd say, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I like to go over what I've prepared the night before, just so that it's fresh in my mind. Generally what I'll do is I will prepare for the class that I have the next day, like that night, the night before and throughout the day. And yeah, I'm at school from, you know, 9 in the morning, and I have maybe 2 classes. So like a typical Monday schedule, I have torts from 11 to noon, and then I have con law from 1 to 3, basically. So I'll catch lunch in between those and sort of, you know, hang out with some friends, maybe, you know, brush up on my con law stuff so that I'm fresh for class. And then after class, I might unwind for a half hour, poke around on the internet, and then I prefer to stay at the library after class until I can get my next day's work done, which Tuesday is contracts and property, so I'll have two classes to prepare for that night. And it takes – law school reading is not not the easiest thing. I mean, it really takes a lot of time to sort of dissect, reread things, brief the cases. So on any given day, I'm at school from maybe 9 in the morning until 6 or 7 at night, and then I'll come home, grab dinner, maybe watch a show, and then sort of cap out the night with a couple more hours of preparation, and then, you know, get up in the morning and sort of do it again.
Yeah, there's, you know, I've obviously have some colleagues that do it a little differently. Compared to Jordan, I try to get my work done like 2 days or a day in advance. So the work that's due on Tuesday, I try to have done Sunday. The work that's due on Wednesday, I try to have on Monday. That just system works for me a little better, because like when I, you know, the night before probably stressed me out too much, to be honest. There's other students in my section who have their entire weeks of reading done on Sunday. I tried that 1 week, and by the time Thursday rolled around, I had forgotten what I read because, you know, there's just so much going on, and it just didn't seem to give the best utility for me. So it kind of depends on the student in terms of when to prepare. You know, some people like to, you know, work until midnight the night before. Some people like to get it done a week in advance. So it really depends on your style. And if you manage your time correctly, you should be able to, you know, use the style that's most comfortable for you.
All right, we have a caller coming in right now, so.
All right.
Hello?
Caller? Hello.
Hello. Do you have a question?
Hi there.
Hi.
Caller?
How are you?
Well.
It's sort of a comment that I want to make, and then I want to have Chris and Jordan comment on it if they have something to respond to. But going back to the curve and habits, one thing, and I did go to law school myself, and one thing that I learned from it is that you cannot totally expect to be in control of everything. And so I found it much harder than other academic pursuits, because typically when you take a class, you have some control over the grade. You determine how much time you spend on a paper, so on and so forth. But with law school, not only do you not have control over how other people perform on the exam, but you also do not have control over what other people know coming into the exam. And I know that other people had parents who themselves were attorneys, and they had that advantage going in. And I just wanted to, you know, just make the point and see if either Chris or Jordan have experience with that. Because I know, like Jordan was saying, people who are going into law school are highly competitive, and I think there's, in some case, you know, they're control freaks, sort of. And I think that's a rude awakening for some people when they do everything they can, but because of factors that they cannot control, their performance is not as they were expecting it to be. I know that was definitely a case for me, and I just wanted to see if either Chris or Jordan have anything to respond, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, thank you, caller. I guess one situation sticks out in my mind, and it is it's a girl from my section, and she does not attend class. You know, there are some people, and, you know, you don't really ask questions, but, you know, some people don't attend class, or they do attend class and don't read, or they attend class and just, like, sit there and go online, and you're thinking to yourself, what are these people doing? Why are they paying $40,000 a year to sit there? Well, this girl never attends class, and a couple weeks before exam, she decides that she's going to pick up, you know, some outline books and maybe read some of the things, and she ended up, I think, getting, you know, all B pluses or something, a really good showing on exams. And, you know, you kind of sit back, and as somebody who worked very, very, very hard, and I did well, it's just, I think it adds to what the last caller was was suggesting, is that you don't really have control, and it's just kind of something that you need to deal with. And, I mean, if you've done all that you can do on your end, then things like that, like, yes, it'll make you want to rip your hair out, that somebody that didn't come all semester can kind of just sort of waltz in, and, you know, maybe her parents were attorneys, and she just sort of has that sort of legal eye. But if you've done all that you can do, then, you know, I don't see a reason to sort of get upset over it.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with both the caller and Jordan. You know, when you're sitting in your class and there's some quiet people sitting in the back and there's some people that are talking every 10 minutes. And you know, in my section at least, there was, you know, each of those people, you know, each of those respective groups, you know, had their share of people that did really well or did really poorly. So it's really, you don't know who's going to show up on exam day and kill the exam. So that definitely adds to the stress, but at the same time, you can only do what you can do, and you know, that's easier said than done. But I mean, that's all you can really do. I mean, to do anything else about it would just be you know, a little too competitive, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to our earlier point that we were sort of criticizing the exam method. And you know, I guess one question to ask would be: is it fair to have a system where somebody who doesn't do anything or does very little compared to their hardworking classmates can sort of waltz in and be on an even playing field? So I guess that would be something to ask in terms of whether the exam system is fair or right.
Interesting. I got a question here from one of our listeners, and it's exclusive to Chris. It's about state law school. In your experience, Chris, what would be something they look at for acceptance besides LSAT and GPA? I've heard mixed stories about how easy and hard it is to get in.
Well, I would say that, I mean, I'm not in the admissions room when they're making these decisions, but as far as I can tell, it's pretty comparable to most law schools. LSAT and GPA is really, to be honest, from what I understand, all that really matters. I mean, if you lived in third world countries, you know, and you know, built homes for people, I mean, that's probably going to be a plus in your column. But anything short of that, you know, I don't know what's going to do it outside those two numbers, which is definitely frustrating. I mean, at any law school, it's really your GPA and your LSAT, and sometimes where your undergraduate degree is from. But in terms of state law school, getting in, it's just, you know, if you're not through undergrad, make sure your grades are up. And as for the LSAT, you know, just put a lot of work in. And I think this advice is pretty generic, but it'll work for most any law school. But that's really, you know, what it comes down to, for better or for worse, is those two numbers.
All right, got another question. Without getting too personal, are there any things you want to note about financing such a large sum of money to go to school? Is there any notes you have about that you want to make?
Any tips?
Tips.
What do people do?
I guess I'll take that. I mean, it's a huge commitment, and it's a very personal thing that you'll have to obviously figure out based on your own circumstances. You know, it's a somewhat similar financial aid process. You apply for FAFSA, and you also apply to each school for specific scholarships through the school. So there's, you know, the schools will give out money, and that's something to consider also if you're weighing a couple schools and one is offering money and the other's not. I mean, that's certainly something to consider. It's a huge financial commitment, and something that you definitely need to be cognizant of when you are applying and when you are deciding where to go. And you also need to factor in what you plan on doing when you're done, because realistically, if you really want to, you know, help low-income tenants or something, or work at a nonprofit, or work in the public defender's office or work as a prosecutor. There are so many legal jobs where you're just not going to get paid that much money. And, you know, the jobs that you do hear about that are, you know, above $100,000 starting salary, I mean, those are few and far between. So you really need to sort of have a realistic perspective on what you think you may do when you get out before you sort of incur this somewhat overwhelming financial burden.
Yeah, I would agree with Jordan. I just like to, you know, realistically put a price tag on it. Some law schools are $40,000 a year just for tuition. On top of that is, you know, room and board and that sort of thing. So you can look at spending, you know, over $150,000 on a legal education. So you have to be sure, first of all, that, like Jordan said, that you're going to look to a job that you'll be able to pay that off and still be able to live, you know, still be able to eat. Also considering financial aid in terms of scholarship is something, if it's offered to, you know, to take into consideration in your decision of where to go. I mean, unfortunately, money does play a huge role in where you go to law school and you know, what it does for your career prospects. So, unfortunately, it's a big consideration, so you can't really sugarcoat that.
We're getting close to the end of time here. I got one question left. I mean, obviously throughout this, and I mean, just the notion of law school is, you know, it's very difficult, and I've heard that from, you know, everyone I've ever talked to about it. And I was wondering if there's anything comparable in level of difficulty that you've approached in other aspects of your life.
Nope. Not for me. I think going through, you know, I remember in middle school the principal saying, you know, high school is going to be a whole other ball game. It's going to be so much difficult. Then you get to high school and you're like, okay, it's not really any harder. And then people, you know, same thing with college. When you get to college, it's going to be so much work. And you know, college was a big step up. That's for sure compared to high school. And then you know, you hear that one more time for law school. You know, it's going to be so much harder. And you know, it's going to take up all your time. Well, this time I think I finally agree that you can't. You know, there was no overestimating the commitment. So, I would say that, you know, this is, at least in terms of, you know, in work and things like that, it's definitely the most difficult endeavor I've had in my lifetime, my short lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that completely. I mean, I grew up playing competitive sports and, you know, high school, college, there were some difficult times, but I mean, I think that in my life so far, this has been the most difficult thing that I've had to do, and it's also, in that sense, it's also the most rewarding to sort of sit back and, you know, when you throw your pencil down on that last exam and, you know, you really just have this overwhelming feeling of pride in yourself that this is like a mountain that I just, you know, climbed, I guess, 1/6 of the way up after that first set of exams, but, you know, it's something that is extremely intrinsically rewarding, and it's also something that's just very, very, very difficult. And another quick point that I want to make is I've had this conversation with a few friends. It's not so much that there are concepts in law school, and I mean, there are, don't get me wrong. There are concepts that are just, like, mind-bending, and, you know, you're just never going to get them. But I think that one of the hardest things about law school is the sheer workload that you have, and so to deal with that, that is one of the biggest hurdles.
Yeah,
but
I think
very difficult, very rewarding.
I think adding on to that is just kind of my experience is you really get engulfed in law school. A friend of mine, and like you don't even like the other portions of your life become not less important, but less focused on as much. You know, whether it be politics or this or that or the other thing, you really get engulfed in law school, and it's. It's much different. A friend of mine we were in contracts class, and he described a party as a seller of logs, and it's just, you know, at that point, you know, it didn't sound weird at all. But if you call somebody a seller of logs in normal conversation, you'd think, you know, this person's crazy. But you're just so engulfed in the situation that that you, you know, your the way you talk, the way you interact with people. You know, all your friends are all in law school.
We got 20 seconds. So, hey, thank you guys very much for coming on. Perhaps later down the road we'll be able to do another one and follow up with you guys. Keep impressing yourselves and us. Take care. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us on.